The tape ended. "Huh," I said into my mug. "What do you make of that?" Jake and Elizabeth exchanged confused glances and shook their heads. "It sounds like he was trying to summon that thing into the world using Enid. He fed her drugs and opened her mind so that it could cross over." "Why would he do something like that?" asked Elizabeth. "Not only that," I added, "but he'd been doing work of this kind before he ever got to Chaith Asylum. He did experiments in Hiawatha. I bet you dollars to donuts he was tinkering with something in that cabin. Or rather, someone. Talk of this subject number one has me feeling nervous. He was doing this sort of thing to someone before he ever met Enid, torturing them in the dark. There could be a trail of bodies if you think about it. How many people did Corvine subject to these experiments before he finally quit?" "If he quit." Jake was chewing on his thumbnail. His eyes were a little wider now, a little less sleepy. "I don't know, and I don't want to know," he uttered. "It's none of our business." I jabbed at him with my mug, almost spilling my coffee. "It's absolutely our goddamn business. We went in there looking for ghosts and stirred this thing up instead. Corvine's experiments brought something into the world through Enid's head, by the sounds of it. And now it might be out there, walking around, waiting to prey on someone." I took a slurp. "We're too deep into this to turn our backs now. We have a responsibility to stop whatever's been put in motion here. You remember that thing? The occupant, don't you?" Jake threw his hands up. "Jesus, you don't have to remind me. I never want to see it again. Which is why I want to drop this shit, okay?" Elizabeth was staring down at the tape player again. She threaded a few fingers through her ponytail, making it all the messier. "Who did he experiment on first? And how did Dr. Corvine even get involved in this line of research? We know next to nothing about him, despite going to the asylum." She had a point. We'd walked through the doctor's old haunt, but had only come away with this cassette tape. Hell, I didn't even know what the guy looked like, though he was responsible for all of the terror we'd faced in the last few days. Dr. W.R. Corvine was only a footnote to me, a sinister thread running through a frightening tapestry. But we did have one lead. "The cabin," I said, downing the remainder of my coffee. I crossed into the kitchen to pour myself another. "That's our best lead. If we want to know about Corvine, we have to go there and poke around." "And what if that thing is waiting for us there, huh?" demanded Jake. He started pacing around the room. "What then? Will we try and run away again, through miles of forest?" "I don't think so. If you want to give it a shot, then you go right ahead, Professor, but we're sitting this one out." He looked to Elizabeth first with firmness, and then seemed poised to plead. Surprisingly, she didn't protest. Where usually Elizabeth was raring to go and didn't like being ordered around, she didn't seem too interested in this trip and stood up, offering me the tape recorder. "Honestly, I think he's right, Professor. Maybe we should call it quits. The whole club, I mean. I don't have much need for the Morlake Spiritual Society anymore. I've gotten my fill of the supernatural in the past 24 hours. I sighed. Their unwillingness to tag along hit me harder than I wanted to admit. "Really?" I followed them to the door and watched them file out. "Well, it's fine. I can figure this stuff out on my own. I'll let you know if I find anything interesting." Elizabeth nodded, but Jake turned around and said, "Please, don't." I shut the door behind them and locked it. Finally, the sun was coming out, its rays poking through the blinds. Plopping into my recliner, I tried to figure out what I was going to do with my day. Where to start? I wondered aloud. Looking down at the tape recorder, I decided the best course of action would be to learn a little more about the voice on that tape. When the last of the coffee was gone, I splayed out across my bed for a brief, caffeinated power nap, and then threw on a fresh change of clothes. I was on my way to the campus library by 8 a.m.